Hey everyone, Madonna and David here again, naturopath, kinesiologist, holistic counselor. And we wanted to chat because this morning I did a fairly major balance, a kinesiology balance on David. And because he's got the holistic counseling training, he was trying to do the connections from his terminology with what he knows about trauma and my terminology with what we're talking about with survival and deep survival. So, and it was a pretty interesting balance. So,
And there's some very interesting overlaps.
there is. So what was really neat, so David's had a couple of melanomas in the past before. And with the melanomas, you can imagine when the big C is mentioned to you by any doctor, and then of course you end up in that, whipping line, get in there as quickly as you can and, do everything we tell you. And that's the way on the planet. So because there's been two in the past, as well as a Mankey scar caused by an SCC, BCC,
Yeah, basal carcinoma.
basal carcinoma, as well as a
But
couple
with
of
the melanomas, it's good to have surgery available because better out than in.
yeah, potentially.
Yeah, because you don't do chemo or anything on them, so getting them cut out is the best thing.
Well, maybe.
If
I know
it's
people have used redox molecules and got rid of them. So, there are
true.
other options if people are terrified. And these days, because there's so much toxicity in the anesthetics, it's not safe these days to go under, for no reason. But anyway, financially, it's probably faster and easier to go in and have things removed, and sometimes that's the best option. But
With
there is,
everything that the risk, what's the risk benefit analysis?
yes, absolutely. So, and of course, we've got this little guy. Sorry, I'm going to point it out. He's very embarrassed about it. So sorry about that, David. But we've got this little growth sort of
Probably a
starting.
basal carcinoma.
Yeah.
That's not really terrible.
No, but what we wanted to do within the immune system balance that we did this, what I wanted to do, because he was my guinea pig, what I wanted to do was stack that in, in kinesiology speak, that's like storing that in so that that ends up being the goal of the session. And what was really interesting is that when we got that plus the scar tissue from the SCC, plus the scar tissue from the melanoma and the melanoma, it was more emotionally, etherically, and it was more it wasn't so much physical. There was some physical stuff within the immune system that we had to connect the body to, but it was more emotional, the etheric immune system. So the immune system outside the body was more challenged than the immune system inside the body, which is really interesting because we're all just bags of, protons and neutrons and things whizzing around, all our energies connecting. We're sitting here, but some of my aura and his aura, it's all connecting. So we're humans. We're humans. So would you like to chat about what the process was like for you this morning?
Well, what's interesting is that just the fact that it brought that issue up, and what I find interesting, being a holistic family counselor, particularly that things like complex trauma, and complex trauma means that, generally we grew up in an environment that was a family system that was maybe chaotic or dysregulated, and over time, they found that with studies, there was a particular study called the ACE study, Adverse Childhood Experience Study. And what they found over about 25 or 30 years of research now, that the traumas or neglect, and the thing is, people talk about trauma, it's an overused word at the moment, whereas neglect or indifference by parents can be equally as damaging as trauma. And so what's interesting about that is that over a number of years, they've been able to scale out the particular traumas into physical health dynamics. So, for example, people with at least even 2 ACE scores can be have an emotional effect on your life, but especially 3 or over, you can end up with very physical complaints later in life, and they've actually mapped them out. So you'll have a much higher chance of, say, cardiac problems. Now, when you look at the numbers, it's like 4 to 8 times. They're like really big differences compared to the normal population without a trauma experience in their childhood. So what that means is that what we were doing this morning and what Madonna just spoke about, if there's an underlying emotion, if there's underlying emotional trouble in our system, then that translates into physical problems. So therefore, if you can get the underlying trauma sorted, Right, which may have happened in childhood, and some of it might have happened in adulthood. People get complex trauma in adulthood too, if they're living in an environment very stressful all the time, angry, and often people who had that in their childhood, when they become parents, they're just having the same experience. It's generational, and now they're angry at their kids, and so or indifferent, or there's all sorts of attachment issues. It can be, anxious attachment or avoided attachment, so we're too detached, and that's where that. Or if you've had childhood trauma, it'll often be disorganized attachment, which is really.
Where does the whole helicopter parenting fit into that? Because, I sort of find that a lot of people, they don't want their child to be embarrassed or ashamed if they were embarrassed or ashamed as a kid. So therefore, they will do absolutely everything they can to make sure their child has everything they need anytime. They will go out of their way to make sure,
Well, that so the person I studied with all of this stuff, and I highly recommend you watching his videos, is a guy called Tim Fletcher. And so what you're saying there, so he says that in the Western world, what our obsession has been is getting everyone's physical needs met. So helicopter parenting is even more focused on that. But still, they may be neglecting the kids' or emotional needs, so. It's helicopter parenting can be that obsession with physical needs, but because you do it, you're kind of neglecting the kids' emotional needs, which is to have freedom and to be able to go around and feel safe in, going outside their little bubble a little bit. But helicopter parents keep their kids in a bubble. Because I had a friend with OCD, and he was the ultimate helicopter parent, except it was really sort of not very good for the child because it was always terrified of them hurting themselves or having something toxic on them or,
Well, you always feel sorry for those cousins whose parents, put your shoes on, put your jumper on, come inside, Anyway, so yes, they've always been around.
Right. But so what we're looking at here is the so if we've got some physical symptoms and we can address those, but if there's an underlying emotional disturbance stored in the body from childhood, because all of this stuff gets stored in the body, because one of the world's best trauma researchers, Bessel van der Kolk, he wrote his book The Body Keeps the Score, because it all is stored in our body and in our like, and so you can so it's stored in there until it's fixed up. That stored anxiety, stress, and trauma makes its way into physical symptoms.
And the thing is, and I notice this with my clients, you can tell if something isn't clear. From a kinesiology perspective, we want things to be cleared. Once things are cleared, it doesn't mean that the memory's gone. It means there's no charge to the memory. So while there's still a charge to the memory, in other words, if I say, oh, well, when I was 5 years old, my big brother, didn't look after me on the way home from school and this happened, and if I'm still getting teary or angry or upset about it now, that's not clear. There's still a charge to it. And the
So
charge is what.
cleared in psychological terms or counseling terms, that means resolved.
Because there's, I've had big things happen to me in my life, really big things. The stuff that would definitely be on the top 10 ACE things, and other people never get over it. But I've had so much kinesiology and support that, well.
You're able to work through it and resolve it. And it's something that's ongoing too. If there's been, because I know people with very high ACE scores, and when you look into their family systems, because we're individuals, but we come out of the system, right? In family systems counseling, we don't really see individuals. We see people within embedded in family systems where a whole bunch of stuff happened in their childhood, and that's a result, an outcome of the family system. So often, by looking at the complex trauma in our childhood, the idea isn't to hate our parents. We still love our parents, but a lot of these things are many generational. So if you do, like in family counseling, we do these things called genograms, where you look at the parents and the children and the family tree, and you'll go back 3 or 4 generations, and you'll see these things are in all the generations backwards. And so blaming our parents doesn't help, because that's missing the point, that there's an ongoing thing, And in this generation, the best thing we can do is resolve it.
Yeah.
And it's only in the
Because now we've got the tools.
we've only just got the tools, because this ACE stuff they've been working on for about 30 years. But in the last 10 years, they've worked out, well, really 5 years, people like Tim Fletcher, and I'll keep mentioning him because he's so good. And if you want to see him, he appeared on Theo Von podcast the other day. Absolutely brilliant. But the reason I want to bring this up is because you want to look, we can't see them.
Yeah.
And so when the things, when these problems develop in our family system when we were kids, we didn't even know what they were. And an example of it is that, so good examples are like we don't feel confident the way we grew up in our home life, and we develop a type of perfectionism,
Right.
which is really common. So we want to be the best at something. Mum and dad are happy, so we think if we're just really perfect, mum and dad will be happy now.
Yeah.
But actually, it's not our responsibility to make mum and dad happy,
Yeah.
right? That's one example of that. And then we develop all these perfectionist things. And while we're in childhood, those adaptions are helpful because we get some praise, we get some credit now. But when we get to be
Some
at,
kids do all that and they never get praise.
well,
So
they're,
then the perfectionism almost gets worse and worse and worse because it never makes them or their parents happy.
and also when we become adults, it's actually not helpful because we end up burning ourselves out,
Yeah.
you know. And perfectionism is an easy, so they're called adaptions. So we adapt, we're like, it's a way of being inauthentic to get our needs met as kids. But when they develop in adult life, they become maladaptions.
Yes.
And another one that's easy to understand is people pleasing. We become people pleasers because it's like, because I think, you know, if, you know, we got to, if we make everyone happy, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
If we just like, and what that is, we're a kid, and we're more aware of our, whether it's our parents or sibling group, we're more aware of their emotions than our emotions,
Yeah.
right? So that's like, you know, a real problem, because it's like we've left ourselves out of the equation. And then when people become people pleasers as adults in, say, family relationships,
Yeah.
what you really are is a codependent.
Yeah.
And then if you're trying to please your partner all the time and just defer them, it's possible that they've got some, say, narcissistic trait that
Yeah.
is being taken advantage of. And that's why it's called a maladaption in adult.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're a kid, just being nice, being the funny guy, being the perfect guy, or being the person who just defers to the others, that might work well and you get your needs met because everyone accepts you. But when you become an adult, it's like, oh, codependent, that's a bit,
Yeah.
what would you call it, a bit weak, or
Yeah.
you're not taking responsibility for
Absolutely.
yourself.
And it's hard. It's hard to say, I need to go to a counselor and deal with some of my shit. It's not an easy thing for to do. And it was interesting because I work the amygdala, you know, it's part of what I teach in my kinesiology foundations. And the amygdala is the part of the brain that within 1/500th of a second of responding to stress, if we haven't found a logical, creative solution to it, then our brain goes, well, crap, this is too hard. I'm going to go switch off my pleasure reward. I'm going to, you know, activate my fear, threat, danger. I'm going to go back into an old pain and punishment circuit. I'm going to run away, escape, submission, freeze, or I'm going to get freaking angry. You
Right.
know, so they're the main ones. There's a lot of others, of course, but they're the main ones.
Well, anger is another big thing that comes up.
Well,
And,
that didn't show up for you this morning. So with all of the stuff going on, and we had trauma back from 28, 29 years old, I think. And but what the because we asked when the tumors were potentially when something shifted so that the body forgot how to protect itself from this
emotional
stuff.
stressor. And this
And
is looking back with the ACE lens. It's like, well, what trauma happened there that now is extending into a physical problem,
yeah.
using the same theory from complex trauma.
And I think one of the real cool things about holistic counseling, because you're getting all that stuff down in a file for someone, people have often never thought about the connection.
They not only they haven't, but people with higher ACE scores, they can't even see it.
Yeah.
Even if you tell them you've got this issue,
Yeah.
they'll say, no, I don't.
Yes.
Right? So it's a matter of being honest and bringing some, because the sad thing about complex trauma is we don't develop our genuine self,
Yeah.
because all of the adaptions are false selves in a way. And we've got used to that. You know, and if we're older, if we're like, because I'm nearly 60, you've had these adaptions for, you know, 40 years. And then, you know, if you can start looking at them, they're not that easy, but you can move them around and you
Yeah.
can
Might do a quick little visual of that. Well, I always think of the changes that happen for abuse as being part of like what happened during Back to the Future. So just say this.
We'll go back to when this is all cut out.
Yeah. So just say that this is supposed to be our trajectory through life where everything's great. We're on the up and up and up and up. And, you know, life just gets better and better as we get older because we know stuff. We feel wiser. We feel pretty amazing. But just say here in grade five, we had an awful teacher who didn't understand us. They didn't think we were paying attention. And that teacher abused us for 12 months straight. That can send us into a downward spiral. So one potential future is success oriented. One potential future is trauma oriented. So every relationship we have in life just ends up sending us in the same direction where we can't thrive. We can't, you know, we just can't.
And especially if you didn't have perfect conditions at home as well as that.
Yeah.
Like if you've got a really nice home environment where there's not complex trauma, you'll have a teacher like that. You'll be able to work with your family to get through it and be okay.
Yeah.
In most cases, because the thing is that families that are well balanced, they still fight, they still argue and everything, but they resolve it. The difference is that people in complex trauma environments, they don't resolve issues.
Yeah.
And so they carry on for a long time and they've got all these unresolved things.
They create more and more ego defense mechanisms to protect themselves.
Yeah, that's a good way. Ego, because it is egotistic. And it is. And it is.
And this isn't even a bad thing. We've got to do it to get through life.
And it's the most, it's the best way that you can, for a lot of people, it's the best way to approach counseling.
Yeah.
To look at what's underlying. And because if you can get the underlying emotional and psychological triggers and difficulties sorted out, if it's true that these things, the projection make poor health, then by fixing them, the projection will be better health.
Can I give an example there? I had a client, which was one of my first clients 30 years ago, and she had so many health issues. Her lymphatic system didn't work properly. She had polycystic ovarian syndrome. So as a woman, she was creating excess hair around the place all the time. She had chronic fatigue and she had a lot of anxiety and nervous system issues. So she was seeing me weekly for lymphatic system drainage massage for years. She left her husband. Never had any of those health issues again.
Right.
So at that point, because he was quite abusive and she had two sons as well and they were following in their father's footsteps, and she told me one day about him just raging towards her and her just cowering, you know, in the corner in the room. So by the time she left him or he left her, I can't remember, but within 6 months, she just, because she was already seeing me and she was already seeing another therapist, all of a sudden that stuff can really, you know, allow you to flourish.
It would have been,
I wasn't a kinesiologist
it would have been
at the
good
time.
If, the husband could have come in and helped, because the problem there is that even though she got free of the situation, the kids have still got the generational trauma now embedded in their body.
They do.
And so at some stage, that'll probably need to be addressed unless they find way. So, you know, leaving relationships, I know it's like the popular thing at the moment.
Yeah, it is.
Except that, like Tim Fletcher pointed
everything
out,
everything feels like it's anti-family.
But like he pointed, Tim Fletcher pointed out on the Theo Von video, he goes, the most recent research on divorce is that divorce is actually a very bad thing and really affects kids badly. And, you know, a lot of people can't stay together. And another difficulty is most people who come to counselling are girls and women. And, you know, only about 30% of people who come to counselling, I think, are men.
Right.
So men have...
30% is still better than it was, I think.
It's better than it was, but it's still a...
I mean, I have a lot of men, but there's a lot of, you know, because I do a lot of things, so...
Right, but especially there's serious men's health problems at the moment. Men are in a situation, and so are boys, where they're really getting the raw end of the stick from everybody because... Yeah. You know, the concept of toxic masculinity or whatever you call it. And so it makes it even harder for guys to show up for counselling, to do anything about these complex trauma problems that affect the generation.
And if you've got a counsellor who believes all of that stuff about toxic masculinity, they're not going to be that they're not going to be good for men.
Well,
And that's
it's
what's being
because,
taught at the moment.
well, it's being taught because complex trauma. So people from complex trauma backgrounds, interestingly, they have a anti-anger thing, right? No anger's allowed, right? And
Right.
this is very common. Tim Fletcher talks about this. No anger's allowed. And so a guy getting angry, that's toxic masculinity. And people leave relationships
What
that
about
way.
women getting angry?
Well, it doesn't, there's no such, that doesn't happen. No.
No, that's where I was going.
But this is
Because
the.
women are seen as being strong and assertive if they get angry, whereas men
Right.
being angry, have to shovel it in. Don't express it. Go
Yeah,
hide.
and there's a problem with that. So they have zero tolerance for anger,
Yeah.
except as Tim Fletcher points out, not only him, but other people, anger is made, it's a positive thing
Yeah.
because it's meant to stand up against that which violates love.
Right.
And the things that violate love are like disrespect, lying, being deceptive, being manipulative, being betrayal,
Yeah.
betraying people. These things violate love. And in a zero tolerance of anger environment, it means that all of the other people are allowed to free range, be
Yeah.
manipulative. And these are all adaptions from complex trauma.
Yeah.
They're allowed to play out their adaptions and tell lies, manipulate, betray people. And the person who get angry is in trouble,
Yes.
right? And so the problem with that is that often the person being angry is trying to stop something dishonest happening, right? But then you're a toxic male. This is in the literature. And so what we want to do is, because anger is also, nearly all people with complex trauma have an anger thing, male or female.
Yeah.
And the thing is, women's anger is different to men's anger because anger is silent treatment, still angry. Being contemptuous with someone, devaluing them.
Yeah.
Devaluing is a big thing. And to do when you're married, to devalue the other person in front of the other kids is a type of parental alienation. It's like, oh, well, you might feel like that, but the kids shouldn't have to feel like
Yeah.
that. They should be able to love mum and dad,
Yeah.
you know. And so if you can get under this stuff, a lot of the reasons that people leave each other go away.
Yeah.
Because suddenly it's like you can get under the thing that's causing, and you can also nip the generational pattern in the bud. So the kids and their kids don't have to pass it down anymore because it's not fun for anyone.
Awesome. Hope you enjoyed that. We just figure we'll hop on here and have a bit of a chat every now and again, sort of get that combination of perspectives going on. Hope that was useful.
I hope so too. Thank
Excellent.
you.
Have a good day, everyone. Bye.